Hello, everyone, and welcome to For the World. This week is the Spanish Grand Prix, and in honor of that race, we wanted to do a bit of a spotlight on the track because ever since the early 2000s, Barcelona-Catalunya has been the frontrunner in terms of circuit sustainability on the F1 calendar. It was the first track to be awarded the 3-star environmental accreditation by the FIA back in 2015, and we also have a big Spanish presence on the grid with Carlos Sainz, Fernando Alonso, as well as many famous Spanish drivers throughout history and across motorsport series like Marta Garcia. Yes. It was announced that Madrid will be hosting a Grand Prix in 2026 and beyond, which calls into question the future of the Barcelona Grand Prix and the Barcelona circuit in terms of F1. But regardless, there's lots to learn from the Barcelona circuit when it comes to hosting a sustainable event. So can't wait to dive in. I'm Tiggy.
I'm Chessa.
And I'm Fiona.
Okay, so let's start with a concept that's important to sort of set the scene in Spain: sustainable tourism. Tourism, like many other countries in Europe, it's essential to Spain's economy. Over 85 million tourists traveled to Spain just last year, so making it the world's second highest international tourist destination behind France. And the GP does play a large role in that number. It attracted over 280,000 people to the race in 2023.
And the Catalonia region in particular is a major draw because of its natural beauty and coastlines and vibrant cities like Barcelona, but also a booming sports scene, which really plays a hand in supporting local economies. For example, FC Barcelona alone contributes over $1 billion to Barcelona's GDP, which is nuts, and close to 20,000 jobs in the region. And of course, race weekends for Formula One and MotoGP aren't that big, but they're still key contributors. But most importantly, Catalonia is really known for its environmentally friendly tourism, and Spain as a nation is a global leader in renewable energy usage and has made significant progress on reducing its emissions.
Yeah, it's definitely doing a really good job. But the sort of sadder side of that story is that a big reason that Catalonia is so focused on sustainable tourism is that climate change is already being felt quite strongly in northeastern Spain. Like many other places, heat is a big factor. The number of days above 99 degrees Fahrenheit or 37 degrees Celsius is expected to double by 2050 in the region. Wow. But the main issue facing Catalonia is water. Because of the heat and the water issues, it's predicted to take a big chunk out of the tourism that supports Barcelona and the surrounding area. So we wanted to give a little bit of background on the water issue before we dive into the circuit's sustainability practices and why that's so important for the region.
So while Barcelona has an intricate network of climate relief shelters and really strong sustainability policies, the city is really actively facing a water emergency, and it's contending with a record-setting drought. So according to NASA's Earth Observatory, 2023 was the second driest year in Catalonia on a record that goes back 110 years, second only to, depressingly, 2022. So as a result, in the region, it's reliant on rain-fed reservoirs, and it's in a really fragile place right now and was under intense water restrictions until pretty recently.
So late spring rains did sort of play a hand in boosting Catalonia's reservoirs, and for the most part, water restrictions have eased for now, but the dry season in Catalonia is still to come, and the big concern today is the millions of tourists that will flock to Spain this summer and during the dry season, because tourists and hotels have historically used up a lion's share of water in the region, and a 110-year drought isn't really something that you get over overnight. But on sort of the more positive side, there was a great article in Reuters a couple weeks ago about how Barcelona is striking this delicate balance between having tourists enjoy the incredible things it has to offer, but also having visitors understand the seriousness of the situation so the city can better help manage water equity for locals. And according to that story, most tourists actually didn't know about the drought until they actually got to the city and saw the billboards that the local groups and the city had put up. But once folks knew, many of them wanted to help and do their part to conserve water. And I'd encourage folks heading to the Grand Prix to challenge themselves to do the same. So shorter showers, y'all.
Shorter showers, please. So with that backdrop, it's definitely not surprising that the circuit has sustainability top of mind. Like we mentioned, the track has been FIA 3-star accredited since 2015. So we wanted to walk through some of its efforts to reduce emissions, minimize waste, improve biodiversity, and also support social causes and accessibility that are so key to sustainability in hopes that other circuits can and will follow suit. So the circuit frames its initiatives around what it calls the three C's: conscience, commitment, and coherence, which not only inform the sustainability measures it undergoes, but also the education it provides for visitors at the track. And there are some really cool educational aspects to being at the Barcelona GP, which we'll get into. But importantly, all of its efforts also are guided by the UN's Sustainable Development Goals framework, which is incredibly important.
So the first piece of all of this is the actual track itself. So the Circuit de Barcelona-Catalunya has worked very hard with its partners to make improvements on emission and waste reduction, which are key in sustainable venue management. So when we talk about sports venues, the biggest piece of the sustainability puzzle is the venue's facilities, and then, of course, their associated emissions, their waste, and their pollutants. And this essentially covers the physical area of the track, its buildings, whatever is powering the buildings, and things like LED screens and lights, which you might not even, maybe you would think about LED lights, but the LED screen things is really important, as well as the physical impacts the track may have on the surrounding community and biodiversity. So managing it all takes an army of staff, volunteers, suppliers, contractors, and utilities, and has a lot of people involved just to make it happen.
Yeah, for sure. And what is great is that the circuit's buildings and paddock have run on certified 100% renewable electricity since 2017, wow. But it does use generators to power whatever can't be covered by renewable electricity. The circuit is also linked up, this is a favorite fact of mine, with all the sustainable mobility solutions and public transportation systems to help fans and teams reduce their emissions on their way to and from and also around the circuit. And public transportation really is the best and easiest way to get to the track, which is definitely not true for a lot of circuits on the F1 calendar. Yeah, right. So
you're sitting in a car for like 2 hours guzzling gas.
And also, yeah. Public transport is cheaper. So exactly. It's definitely easy on your wallet. So you have more money for snacks.
Yes. And they also have a set of solar-powered electric vehicle chargers on site, as well as measures to minimize noise from events from reaching the surrounding community. So all these actions help reduce the circuit's carbon footprint and pollution potential.
And when it comes to waste reduction, the other really key piece for venue management, the circuit has a robust network of water refilling stations, and it also distributes reusable cups at all of its bars and catering locations, which really helps to reduce single-use plastics and other single-use materials. But a key part of any waste disposal program is correct waste segregation. So trash, recyclables, and organics all go to the right place. And one thing listeners can do if they really want to play a part in helping the race run sustainably is make sure that the waste you have, so your bottles, your bags, your food, and your cups, are all going the correct receptacles. And if you don't know where things are supposed to go, don't be afraid to ask. I say this as someone who loves talking about trash and who has been a part of a team whose job it was to dig through literal tons of compost, trash, and recycling on race weekends and sort it all out. And although I really do love, unironically, being armpits deep in cheesecake or beer cans, it really does help when fans get engaged.
Yeah, that's totally. So huge. I was actually at a sports game last night and they were giving everyone cups for their drinks, these like heavy plastic, like mason jars. And so I had a drink and I went to get another one thinking we could refill it. And they were like, no, you have to throw it away or bring it home. Like, we have to give you a new heavy plastic glass every time. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. This is the dumbest thing ever.
So unnecessary.
Yeah. And speaking of cheesecake, Fiona, so let's talk about the circuit's catering for this track. It's grounded in what we call the kilometer zero gastronomy, which is so cool. So it means that the track prioritizes working with suppliers locally whose products come within 100 kilometers. So the KM0 and slow food movements are taken very seriously in Spain and throughout Europe as well. And the circuit really takes this on with pride because KM0 helps not only support local agriculture and artisans, but it reduces food transport related carbon emissions as well. And if food is partially consumed or no longer edible, it can be disposed of as organics waste, which will be composted or transformed into biogas by the city, which is really cool, something that we definitely, I feel like we don't have here in the States. And the circuit also has a big food donation program, which is so important. So surplus food from teams and kitchens, and there's always a lot of it. The teams have massive catering situations. That's all collected and distributed to a local soup kitchen, El Chipre Foundation.
The best way to learn a language? Immersion, living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way, and that is with Babbel. If I had one wish, it would be to speak every language, but sadly, I've given up hope on that and have turned my full focus to learning French. Ever since my family lived in Paris, I've been on a French learning journey, taking weekly classes, doing tutoring twice a week, listening to French podcasts daily. But the only consistent way I've been able to feel immersed and feel like I'm actually improving each day is with Babbel. It is so easy to integrate into my daily routine, learn how to order food, ask for directions, speak to merchants. Plus, Babbel's speech recognition technology helps you to improve your pronunciation and accent, which has been a godsend for me in French. It's developed by over 200 expert linguists, and one study found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college. To join millions of Babbel language learners across all age groups, here's a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/FTG. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/FTG, spelled BABBEL.com/FTG. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Women's health is so important, and balanced hormones are key to that. We've been loving Hormone Harmony, an all-in-one hormonal balancing solution for women of all ages from Happy Mammoth. Hormone Harmony contains adaptogens, which are science-backed herbal extracts that help your body adapt to stressors like hormonal changes and all the things that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. Happy Mammoth as a company is so incredible. It's committed to making women's lives easier, and they actually have a whole range of products to help that. Another one that we've been loving is Estro Control, which you take to help support and balance you throughout your entire cycle, and it really helps ease all of those PMS symptoms. And for a limited time, you can get 15% off of your order at happymammoth.com with code F1RTheGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code F1RTheGirls for 15% off today.
And for the educational pieces that we were talking about, the circuit also conducts educational activations about food waste and recycling to let fans know what's going on, what's up. And in past years at Grand Prix, they had sustainability information stands called meeting points around the track. So definitely keep an eye out for those this year too. So much of this is just education, I feel like. So investing in that is a really smart way for the circuit to do that. But out of all of the things that the circuit does, we think its commitment to biodiversity really makes it stand out, especially given the track's locality in northeastern Spain. The track has more than 25 hectares of green areas, including the educational crater forest. So starting a few years back, the circuit began a project to improve the health of its forest in partnership with Social Forest, which is a group that delivers agroforestry training to young people and others facing social exclusion. And this in part helped turn the circuit's unmanaged green spaces into healthy areas that are closely monitored for the well-being of trees, other local species, all the things that are important for biodiversity. So the educational crater forest at the track is still thriving today. So definitely take a little hike if you're there, snap some photos, tag us. There should be some cool paths, an insect hotel, and educational posters to check out. So
it's I kind of feel like Seb Vettel's got to get over to the insect hotel.
Seb Vettel's bee hotel is thriving in Suzuka, but also thriving in a different form in Barcelona.
They should make a little resort.
I love that.
It was great because Marc Marquez, who's the FIM's environmental representative, sort of did a cute little ceremony a few years ago inaugurating the insect hotel. So it was great to see another short king standing up for environmental sustainability. But because, again, all of this work in sustainability at the circuit is grounded in the UN Sustainable Development Goals, the circuit recognizes that most sustainability solutions are intersectional. So meaning they're intertwined closely with social and accessibility solutions. So many of the initiatives on the track are designed to jointly forward sustainability and social impact. For example, the circuit works with several nonprofits and companies to conduct sustainable facilities management in ways that provide those facing social exclusion with meaningful training and work. The circuit also contributes to the health and vibrancy of its surrounding communities. It carefully monitors noise production during race weekend events, and the venue routinely hosts charity events and school visits, in addition to opening up the track for local cyclists. And that's a really important thing, that the circuit doesn't just lie dormant. It has stuff going on all year round. And the circuit is also working to improve accessibility for wheelchair users and folks with reduced mobility by expanding accessibility features across Grandstand G, the control tower, the paddock, and of course, the restrooms all around the facilities.
Yeah, we talk about that a lot, especially with Extreme E and how focused they are on sort of their legacy projects in the communities that they're in and beyond. But I think that's just such a big part of being a sustainable venue is you're not just doing your thing for one weekend out of the year. You're thinking about how you fit into the community and how you can help and what you can do to serve those who live in the area kind of all year round. So
I feel like we talked a lot about that with Pilar Harris when we had the conversation ahead of the Vegas GP, because that was one of the biggest things that people were talking about leading up to the GP was sort of just like the destruction to the local people and environment and things like that. And Pilar had a lot of really interesting things to say about how the whole GP was designed to try to help to give back. And they have really interesting sustainability solutions as well, because Vegas also has some water issues. So definitely go back and listen to that one if you're interested in things like this.
And if you think about the situationality of most sporting venues, you know, usually if you dig into the history a little bit, there's very much a history of moving people and thriving communities out of the way to be able to build these facilities and make them possible. And usually those communities are low income or communities of color. So really paying attention to the impact that you have where you are situated and placed to make these events happen is so, so important. And so it's really strong that the whole track and the circuit system in Barcelona is being really cognizant of these issues.
Exactly.
Totally. And all of this honestly just scratches the surface of what it takes to make a circuit go green. There is so much more, and there's no perfect track or perfect circuit, but hopefully we just wanted to recognize some of the hard work that the circuit is doing to make its operations more sustainable, and many make fans and, you know, teams and drivers alike aware of these programs. And I think these types of initiatives are why the circuit is a hub for sustainable innovation, and hopefully others can learn from it, even if it's not on the F1 calendar in a year or two. So critically, what's I think important to note is that the circuit does work with certifiers like ISO and organizations like the FIA to ensure that its events are running responsibly. So there's a third party involved here, and that helps us as fans hold the venue accountable too. So with F1 rolling into town, the spotlight is definitely fully on the Circuit de Barcelona Catalunya. They've done a lot of work to be one of the best in the business, and it will be interesting to see what they have in store for the season and beyond, even if it's not F1. It's a huge MotoGP track and destination as well. So we can't wait for the race, and we'll chat with you soon.